you, we can do nothing. We can do an awful lot in the natural, but we accomplish nothing. So we ask that you would release grace to us now. Let your plan unfold, let your will be done. And let these words that you release to me be entering the hearts of those that have a need, in Jesus' name. Amen? You know, this morning I heard, and I heard it even in the middle of the night, so God was kind of bouncing on my case in the middle of the night. And so we're going to go to Galatians chapter 3. And what I was looking at in Galatians, in chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law, or because you believe what you heard?" Believing is a choice we make. And a lot of times when a word comes, such as my sister shared with you, a word came, but then all hell breaks loose trying to get you to unbelieve or to shut down the belief. There were times when God would allow a word to come to me, and every time that word would come, instead of having the fruit of that word, I had the exact opposite. In other words, just to shut it down and to get you to drop the word, never to let it come to life. And it won't come to life unless you and I begin to speak to it. And to speak that word. Rather than allowing the emotions or the circumstances steal the word. The scripture says, if you receive a word, the enemy comes immediately to steal that word. Amen? Well, how is he going to steal that word? By giving you all kinds of circumstances to nullify what you've already heard and what you know is going to be. Now, you may know it in your heart. And I remember a few weeks back, or several weeks back, Pete shared with us, sometimes your soul will waver. In other words, your emotions are going to go everywhere. But if you chose to believe what God said about the circumstances, and you begin to declare, Mark 11:24, believing you have received, it will be done unto you. It doesn't say it might. It says it will be done unto you. Now, I remember going way, way back into my understanding of faith and the beginnings of my workings with faith, beginnings to declare what God says versus what I was experiencing. And I shared with this family of mine that I didn't have a cold. But in case you got news coming, I had all the symptoms of a cold. I mean, the runny nose. This was still when I was in business yet. My head was like, felt like three feet wide. My nose felt like maybe 20 feet and full of stuffing. And I kept saying, I do not have a cold. Well, I hate to say it, but I was the mockery of my home. And they all laughed at me because I had all the symptoms, and I said, no, I don't. I do not have a cold. Okay? But of course, I had to keep a hanky cleat, you know, real close because it was dripping all the time. But I didn't have a cold. Okay? But I was really believing that God had already healed me, and I was declaring Mark 11:24, believing I have received the victory over this infirmity, because it was the spirit of infirmity that was operating and pushing my buttons. Okay? In case you forgot, the spirit of infirmity is the leader or the strong man over all sickness and disease. So, I went to work on Saturday morning. We used to have a prayer meeting for men at 6 o'clock. I would be down there. By 9 o'clock, they would leave, and I'd open business, and we'd do whatever needed to be done. Well, a phone call came, and it was my wife's girlfriend, who just passed away not too long ago. And she says, "Oh, my God, Kim," she says, "you sound terrible. You have a cold, right?" And guess what? I mean, there was a holy anger that came upon me in about a half a second, all right? Because I had been fighting this sniffer all morning long. And I pounded on my desk and I said, "No, I don't." And guess what? Instantly, every symptom left. My nose cleared up. It was perfect. I was totally, totally free. Now, who was trying to steal the word? Who was trying to make me an unbeliever? Who? My thoughts, my friends, my family, the phone call. Are you catching a clue? When you become a person of faith, circumstances are not going to affect you. Circumstances are going to be testing you, but you're either going to be a son of God or a son of the flesh. I got perfect space for an amen. All right? Verse 6, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. If you are going to be justified by your works, you're going back into what? The law. And announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. All nations will be blessed through whom? Who's he talking about? He's talking about us. Amen? Is he talking about men and women who only go by the circumstances? No! Because Abraham went by the word that God gave him. He was going to have a mighty young man at some point. Now, did he try to help God out? Yep. And by the way, in case you forgot, God did not throw him away. So is it normal for you to fall short sometimes? Is God going to throw you away? No. He's going to try to remind you, keep believing. Keep declaring what I've told you. It will take place. It will come to pass. Amen? So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Look at your neighbor. Say, "You're blessed. Because you are a woman and a man of faith. And you are a child of God, maturing to become a woman or a man of the Spirit." Amen. Okay? All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Yeah. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. So if you're a righteous person, the law is important, but it's not going to be the focus. Amen? In other words, your everyday lifestyle will not be guided about the do's and don'ts. You're going to have a love flow coming out of you. And that love flow will pick you up and carry you higher than you could ever be carried by the law. You see, the law will get you to think that you're, "Hey, I am so great. I did it right this week. I am so good." By the way, in case you forgot, while you're patting yourself on the back, you're full of pride. And pride comes before a fall. So get ready for a nosedive. Amen? Not because I want to pick on you. I'm picking on me. I've done it. And sometimes I still get caught. Thank you. Not that I want friends, but you know what? If all of us realize that we are under a construction process, which is what I was trying to give you last week, that construction process is not a hopeless case. I mean, two pieces of wood can be a platform. It can be the start of something great. But if you don't start with the first two pieces, you don't get nothing. Amen? If you get a word, and the word is real for you, then declare it. Declare it in that moment of unbelief. Declare it when you can't think straight. Declare it when you don't feel right. Declare it when everything is breaking apart. Why? Because God is the source of that word, and it will come to life when you choose to believe, and you will be credited with righteousness because you are a son and a woman of Abraham. That's what you are. That's what the scripture says you are. So if you are what you said, and your words are, oh, well, I guess I had a word, but it can't be true because the fruits aren't here. If I would have picked up that phone with all the symptoms still operating, and the person who said, oh, my God, I feel so bad for you. You have a real bad cold. And I would have said, yeah, feel bad for me. Please pray for me. Would have I gotten delivered?
No.
Why? I would have agreed with the wrong spirit. She was full of compassion and full of mercy, but from her flesh. Because she knows what it's like to have a cold. So she was full of compassion and mercy, but it was from which spirit? Her flesh. Wasn't from the Spirit of God. If she would have been under the anointing of the Spirit of God, now, what would have been the words coming out of her mouth? Thank you. And I would have agreed and freedom would have come. But most believers go the other route. They go with the root of the circumstances. I got a phone call yesterday. And a young man that we've been praying for his niece with an eye problem. They started chemotherapy on the little child. And my comment was, God chooses very strange ways of working sometimes. And I can tell you that if my wife had not gone through chemotherapy, she would not have had a heart of compassion and mercy for many saints who she was able to minister to and bring life to had she not gone through. Because she understood the details of the torment. And I said, we have to trust that the Lord is doing something awesome here. And that the Lord will be glorified even in the midst of the trial. Even in the middle of all the unbelief that's trying to come in, we're going to still believe that God is doing a mighty work and delivering this child and freeing that child from all of the darkness that is in that body. We're not going to stop believing just because there's a little circumstance that comes in the way. Amen? Because we are what? Believers, and we are righteous before God. That's what we are. Go ahead. You want to go down to which one? Okay. Verse 11. Clearly no one is justified before God by the law because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree, He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to whom? To us. Through Christ Jesus. So that by faith we might receive the promises or the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Correct? That was the opening of the new day. That was the opening that needed to come in so that the believers would be empowered to go forward. And to be in a transition place for how many years? 2 spiritual years is 2,000 years. Then after that comes what? Resurrection. That's what the third day message is all about. Recognizing that we are living at the beginning of the third day and there's darkness all around. There may be darkness all around because when the new beginning happens, it's always in the midst of darkness. When the new day starts in the natural, you have to have 3 stars out. That's darkness. Yes, you have a little bit of moon, some stars, but it's not too bright. Hard to see. But definitely, it's the beginning. Spiritually, we are living now in that time where God is beginning to release more and more understanding to us. I believe, as I was speaking earlier, that when the men and the women of God are fully saturated with His blessings, they're going to be definitely a time slot where what you see in the book of Acts will be surpassed. I can tell you that a gentleman who was a very powerful man of God in my life shared with me one day, and we were driving down the highway, and there was this person a street person, and quite unkept, if you wish, quite drunk, took a couple of sidewalks to hold him. Because we were, just driving down slowly. And he says to me, he says, Kim, he says, the day will come when God's sons will lay hand on a man in that condition, and he will be transitioned from a hopeless case to a fully anointed son of God. And it'll be done instantly. Instantly. In other words, what you and I took years to learn will be implanted or imparted to that individual in the snap of a finger. Why? Why do you think those that are stuck in alcohol and drugs are in that place? Huh? Go ahead. Well, they're looking for relief. They're looking for a painkiller. I can remember when the Holy Spirit said to me, are you going to thank me? Because I had just studied the book Prison to Praise. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Okay? For this is God's will for you. And I had put my name there. Yeah, it's God's will for me. And my dad was still drinking like a fish. And the Lord said to me, are you going to thank me for the alcohol? And everything in my head said, no way. Everything in my heart said, absolutely never. But the Holy Spirit said, will you do it anyway? And you think if I felt like doing it, you've got news coming. I didn't feel like doing it. But I said thank you anyway. And as I said the words, Lord, I'm going to thank you for my dad and the alcohol. I'm going to thank you that I busted many of his bottles, drew them down the drain in moments of anger and pride. Because I was righteous and he wasn't, in my eyes. And when I did that, all he did was spend some of my money and go back and buy another bottle. So who was the real jerk? Yours truly. But when I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to thank you for the alcohol, I'm going to thank you for his drunken state. And as I heard that word come out of my mouth, the Holy Spirit instantly spoke to me, and he says, I kept him drunk for a reason, otherwise he would have committed suicide. And the purpose of the inebriation was to keep him alive until he could be born again. And a few weeks later, he bowed his knee and accepted Jesus and became born again and filled with the Spirit. Why? Because God had told me to do something that was irrational. And I believed the word. And I chose to declare it. Not in unbelief, but choosing by an act of my will to activate my faith and to declare that word. And both my parents were born again. God took care of them. Now, is it your unbelief that's stealing from you? No. Sometimes it could be timing. It's not a formula that every 6 weeks you're going to have somebody born again because you're saying, thank you, Lord, for what their drug problem is or so on and so forth. Because I've had others in my life that I've said thank you and did the same formula. Because how many know we love formulas? But God jumps out of the box. Whatever it takes. Listen to the word. Do the best you can. Stay in the belief seat, if you wish, and that righteous seat, and you will become. And those that you intercede for will become what you have declared. What you have declared. Because you are a person in obedience to Christ to declare what God says to the best of your ability. Go to verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ, with the anointing. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Verse 1 of chapter 4. What I am saying is this, that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. Until the time set by you or by the father? By the father. So also we were children. And we were slaves, in slavery, under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, say the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem me, that I might receive the full rights of a son. That's for me. Amen. The full rights of a son means that everything gets turned over to you. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you declare will be. But don't try to do it from a childish mentality. Because you're going to be fighting. How many have done it from a childish mentality? I have. I have. I've done it. And guess what I got? Zero results. Yet, on the other areas, when I was able to really have the word from the Lord, a little piece at a time of my unbelief would fall away. Because that's what I was dealing with. And what I'm trying to let you see today is the man that had his son, all the apostles that had worked with him, couldn't get him delivered. And he says, I brought him to your people, and nobody could free him. And the Lord looked at his men and women that had been with him for 3 years or more. You know, I mean, if you're under the anointing of Jesus and he's teaching you, I mean, don't you think they would have caught a clue by now? I mean, I'm thinking at one time, you know, I said, well, you know, if I would have been with you for 3 years, I think I would have had it right. And God was trying to tell me, I've been with you for 3 years, and you haven't got it right. What was the problem? Unbelief. Unbelief. It really is a spirit. And that spirit steals from us. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, whatever unbelief is in me, I'm asking you for a cleanup, a good vacuuming of all that unbelief. Wash it away by the blood of the Lamb. I confess it because I can't change me. I'm totally relying on your grace and your mercy. And I speak grace to my heart. I speak grace to my emotions. And I say to the unbelief, loosen your grip and let me go. And really put in your truth, Lord. I am a believer. I am under construction. And by the grace of my Father, the freedom He declared for me will be a reality. And I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It doesn't mean I've got to die now and get nothing from God. But as I dice up more and more, your grace will grow. And I will be all you've called me to be. Amen. And amen.